With last year's Stanley Cup runner-up and possibly the league's most saleable player, the Atlantic Division looks pretty good for the NHL. They've also got the Blue Shirts, and they've got, well, the Islanders. We're going to talk about the Atlantic Division and our predictions right now. We're here for another edition of Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carrillo. I'm here with my good friend Chris Withers.
Hi, Jason. It's time for part two in our Pucked in the Head.
Our division previews, yeah.
Find out a little bit about players and teams that we don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah, certainly we always know about the star players and things like that. Yeah. But getting into the real, you know, bottom six on some of these teams is a lot of fun. You were kind of our point man on this Atlantic Division adventure.
On the Atlantic Division, yeah.
So where would you like to start?
You know what? I think I'm going to start with the New York Islanders because they are ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm gonna lead with the most amazing stat, I think, in the salary cap portion of the NHL.
More amazing than any of the front-loaded contracts that we're talking about
yes.
in the offseason.
Yes. You may remember, some time ago now, the New York Islanders employed a player by the name of Alexei Yashin.
Yes, I remember him.
He was an idiot. He came into the league very highly touted.
Very skilled player.
Very skilled player, but never quite played up to his potential. I think he had a couple of really good seasons, but...
In Ottawa.
Yeah, in Ottawa, but there was always this feeling that he could do more.
Well, he was never a playoff performer. He didn't really show up for the big games. He was a skilled player who would skate circles around guys in shinny.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pressed him, he disappeared.
He disappeared, yeah. Now, the New York Islanders acquired Alexei Yashin. He was under quite a large contract to play with the Islanders.
Okay, can I ask why we're talking about history like this? Because we're previewing this season.
We are previewing this season. Now, there is a salary floor in the NHL.
Yeah.
And the only reason that the New York Islanders are above that salary floor is they had to buy out Alexei Yashin's contract, and it's still costing them over $4 million in cap hit.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
$4 million bucks this year?
This year.
How long has it been? Isn't he playing in the KHL? Or
He hasn't been around for a while. No, it's been a few years now. I think they actually bought him out post-lockout.
How does Garth Snow still have a job? It was Garth Snow who signed him, wasn't it? Or was it Mad Mike?
No, I think it was. It might have been Mad Mike that signed him.
Mr. Milbury, if you're out there, how do you feel about this?
They would actually be under the cap floor if not for that ridiculous signing.
Well, now, Garth Snow, one thing I do know he did is in the offseason, he tried to get Ilya Kovalchuk.
Yes.
And obviously failed. And his division rival, Lou Lamoriello in New Jersey, mm-hmm. got him.
They could go out and attempt to get anybody in the league because they have over $19 million in cap space available to them.
Wow. Wow. So what you're saying is the Canucks and the Leafs, like, they're, like, right around the cap already, the cap ceiling.
Well, we're above it.
Yeah.
We've got a ditch salary.
We're talking about, you know, Kevin Bieksa might have to go.
Yeah.
Maybe he goes to Long Island.
That could be.
For futures or something.
That's all they've got is futures, because they're going to be drafting very highly for quite a few years, I would think.
Wow, $19 million. Yeah. Well, now, does not bode well for the predictions for the New York Islanders this year.
So let's take a look at what they did. Their most prominent acquisition, I think, is going to be James Wisniewski, who's mm-hmm. bounced around the league as a serviceable 3 or 4 defenseman. He's probably going to be their top D-man.
Over Mark Straight?
Straight's been injured. Wisniewski's a little more stay-at-home, I think, than Straight is. Past that, and you're talking about acquiring guys like Zenon Konopka, who was one of the penalty minute leaders last year for Tampa Bay.
And has an amazing science fiction name.
It's great, isn't it? The most notable thing other than that is Jeff Tambellini left the New York Islanders and came to the Vancouver Canucks.
So. Of course, they've got John Tavares. John Tavares had a good season last year.
Yeah.
In his sophomore year?
I think that was his rookie campaign.
Was that rookie? Really?
I think so.
And he wasn't up for the Calder? I think that was his second year, my friend.
Could be.
Anyway, so John Tavares is the top forward on that team?
I think so, yeah. Him and Kyle Okposo, who's another really good young player.
There are people who are already buying John Tavares jerseys and putting the C on it. Now, Doug Waite is still around and probably will be around, for another 15 years. That guy's ageless.
Well, I don't know. He's dropping every year now. I think this will be his last year.
You think so?
I think so.
Now, why does a guy like Doug Waite still play on a team, honestly, as horrible as the Islanders?
I don't know. Why did Chris Kelios play in the AHL last year?
Why do you keep calling him Kelios? You do know there's an H in there, right?
Is it Chelios?
It's Chelios.
Because I've heard it both ways.
It has always been Chelios. For the 87 years he played in the NHL, it has been Chris Chelios. All right.
Do you want to move on now?
All right.
Or do you want to harp on this a little bit longer?
It's just very pretentious.
Why do guys like Chris Chelios play in the AHL at the end of their career?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. What are you saying for the Islanders then? No improvement there? They were 13th in the conference last year.
No, I don't think they're going to improve. I think they might drop, actually.
So you think this is a team that might have another number one pick in its immediate future?
Yes.
What does Gar Snow do with that $19 million?
Nothing. I don't think he does anything.
You don't think they're going after anybody?
You know what? There's really nobody of huge import left. As far as using up a significant chunk of that, they don't have to and they don't need to. Charles Wang is the owner of the Islanders. You've been hearing for some time that he wants a new building, and I think he's just coasting until such time as the city of New York decides to build one.
Right, so he's not investing in anything to do with improving the team until such time as he gets a new building.
Yeah.
I have heard that the Nassau Coliseum is kind of a dive.
It's pretty bad. After the Joe, I think it's probably the worst.
All right, so moving on to the New York Rangers.
The New York Rangers.
Speaking of the worst.
The worst general manager, is that what you're getting at there?
Memo to Glenn Sather. You suck.
Yeah, the New York Rangers lost a few good players, picked up a couple of good players. I think it's been pretty much a wash for them.
So who'd they lose?
They lost Chris Higgins, who's, shown flashes, but he's been inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Olli Jokinen, who went back to Calgary. Aleš Kotelík is gone.
Memo to Brent Sutter. You suck.
Aaron Voros was another significant one who had about 3 games of outstanding offensive production, and the rest he just beat the crap out of people.
Well, the first half sounds a lot like Marian Gaborik last year.
Yeah.
He had about three good games.
Yeah.
Only Gaborik didn't beat the crap out of anyone.
Yeah. Now, they picked up White and Frolov to shore up their forwards.
Right.
Good pickup.
What? What's that sound?
What?
Chris, I've picked up something on the douchometer. You remember the douchometer?
I do remember the douchometer.
The douchometer was introduced in our last episode of the podcast. It's an invention of mine that I'm quite proud of. It's pretty simple, really. When it picks up a douche on its radar, it plays Chelsea Dagger, the goal song of the Chicago Blackhawks.
All right, well, if you wouldn't mind reading the douchometer.
According to the douchometer, there is a fairly large douche presence in the blue shirt dressing room.
In Sean Avery?
Sean Avery, for one.
Yeah.
There's also a guy by the name of Glenn Sather upstairs.
Yes.
Even when they're not in the news, Chris, they show up on the douchometer.
That douchometer is a sensitive
it's
beast.
Very, very sensitive. Now, does Sean Avery even play a role on this team this year?
Yeah. He'll keep being Sean Avery.
I mean, does Tortorella put up with it?
I think he's been told to.
All right.
I don't think he can get rid of the guy. He's a bit of a cancer.
Yeah, and this is something that the New York Rangers haven't really been able to get around. They've brought so many egos into New York.
Yeah.
Trying to recreate the Messier-Brian Leetch years that they've ended up with cancerous player after cancerous player. Who did they bring in this year?
Well, they brought in White and Frolov, as I mentioned, to shore up the forwards.
Now,
the
Frolov
production.
Is a good addition.
He is.
This is a good young player.
Yeah.
And he only signed a 1-year deal.
Did he? I didn't actually look at his number.
$3 million for 1 year, and then he's a UFA. So this is a contract year for him.
Yeah, well, that's a good move by Frolov, and I'm sure that was part of the
deal. That is a good move by Sather, I have to say. Hey, Slats, good one.
Yeah, they also brought in Vaclav Prospel, and they brought in Derek Bugard to replace the fists of Aaron Voros.
Now, I'm wondering, maybe they brought in Bugard to beat the crap out of Sean Avery.
It could be the first teammate scrap on ice in the history of the NHL.
It happens all the time in training camp.
Oh, yeah, but
in
not
the preseason.
I could actually, I could actually see a teammate beating up Sean Avery. I don't
during
find that,
a game.
During a game. That I don't find that to be outside the realm of possibility.
Now, what would the linesman do in that situation? Because usually it's, you know, you see the two opposite colors and you got to get in between them.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be entertaining as hell to watch, though.
Yes, it would. What about on D? How are they?
Well, they're a little bit hamstrung by Wade Redden.
Why is that?
Well, the contract to output ratio for Wade Redden is ridiculously lopsided against the Rangers. We've talked about how much Glenn Sather sucks in the past. So let me just throw this at you. Drury, Redden, and Michael Roosevelt making a combined $18.5 million this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So on D, I don't think that they're going to be terrible. Yeah, I mean, they were a plus four in goals for and against last year. You know, they're not bad. They lost Bobby Sanguinetti, who was one of their defensemen. They're going to have, you know, Redden, Roosevelt, Stahl. They're also going to have Delzato, who's a good young defenseman. It's not terrible.
Okay.
But it's not outstanding.
And they do have a pretty good goaltender back there.
Yeah, Henrik Lundqvist. And they also picked up Marty Biron this year. To hopefully push him.
Okay, yeah, good. So, because that's one thing that Lundqvist has needed.
Yeah.
Somebody to really challenge him, right?
They've had Steven Valiquette for the last few years, and he just hasn't done a good job of challenging.
Hasn't threatened him at all, no. Okay, that's it for the Rangers. Who you want to talk about next?
Well, let's just keep going reverse up the standings. Philadelphia snuck into the playoffs last year with a shootout victory over those Rangers.
Right. Now, imagine how different those playoffs would have looked had the Rangers made it.
Yeah, would have been weird, eh?
It would have been a very, very different playoff.
A shootout. You end up with a Stanley Cup runner-up.
Now, looking up and down the Philadelphia roster, this is a good-looking team on paper, and this is what a lot of folks picked these guys to be in the Stanley Cup Final last year.
Yep.
A lot of pundits are picking them to go back to the Stanley Cup Final this year.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, this is a good-looking team on paper. Their only real weakness is in goal.
Yeah, I mean, they're stuck with the same goaltending situation they had last year, which is Michael Layton. Yeah, kudos for taking a team to the Stanley Cup Final, but I don't know if he's the guy that you want in there.
And the interesting thing is, everybody talks about Michael Layton because he's the guy who finished the playoffs. Nobody talks about the guy who stood on his head for the first two series.
Yeah, Brian Boucher.
Brian Boucher, who ended up, you know, wrecking both knees on the same play.
Yeah.
Holy
Have you heard an update on Boucher? Because I haven't...
I haven't heard anything for sure. All I know is that Layton is they're tapping him as the number one guy going into the season.
Yeah. Well, knee injuries are tough on goalies in particular.
Going into last year, it was Ray Emery who was going to be the guy.
Yeah, the guy that everybody talked about, or the number one guy.
A lot of people thought he was going to be the number one guy.
Yeah,
they thought Boucher was the odd man out between Layton, Emery, and Boucher, and Emery ended up getting injured.
Yeah. And that combined with the attitude problems that he's had.
Which he had in the past. Did he have any last year?
I don't know.
I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear it, but that doesn't mean they don't exist.
I'm looking at the douchometer. I get no reading.
Yeah, so up front, the Flyers lost Simone Gagné, which it's debatable how much of an impact that's going to have because he has been injured for a significant portion of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked up a guy who has huge upside in Nikolaj Zhirdov.
He has huge upside when he plays.
When he plays. Now, he's flirted with the KHL. Again, attitude issues. Don't know if he's going to be wholeheartedly into the team.
Right. He's a really gifted player.
Yes.
But it's that kind of half-hearted, as you said, attitude that's why he's only getting $2 million for the season. And they only signed him to a one-year deal. So they're basically saying, look,
Nick, give it a try. Yeah.
Give it a try. Show us what you got. If you've got something, you'll make more money.
Yeah, I think they're going to be good. The defense has stayed pretty much the same from last year.
And that includes Chrissy Pronger, Kimmo Timonen, Matt Carl.
Yeah.
I mean, these are pretty good guys.
It's a solid core.
And even going down the depth chart, Sean O'Donnell, Matt Walker, these are good defensemen. We saw that in the final.
Yeah.
These guys can play, especially as a unit. They were just rolling those guys out. It's not like they were saying, you know, Chris Pronger, double shift.
No,
you know?
and he didn't need to, and that's good at his age.
That is. It's good. Yeah.
Let's stay in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Let's move on to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Running down to a team that I think is a perennial conference favorite. I mean, these guys, they're a threat to win the division every year right now.
Yeah. They've lost a lot of players.
Who'd they lose?
Nobody really significant. But a lot of pretty decent guys.
Like depth guys? Like
depth guys.
The same kind of thing that happened in Chicago?
Yeah, like Chris Bourque, Ray Bourque's kid.
Yep.
Luca Caputi went to the Leafs. Eaton on defense, Gonchar on defense. So it's really going to be Alex Goligoski's time to shine. He's their young up-and-coming Russian defenseman.
Right, but they also picked up Paul Martin, and he's going to be like the center of that defense.
Yeah,
right? He's the guy.
From the defensive standpoint, yes, but Goligoski is the one that's going to have to fill the offensive shoes of Sergei Gonchar.
Now, what do you know about Mikhalyk? I don't really know a lot about him.
Well, they picked up Zbynek Mihalyk, I think.
Yep.
I don't know much either. He's been in Phoenix for a number of years, I believe. He's been a serviceable defenseman for them.
Better than serviceable. He's going to make $4 million this year.
He
better
he really?
Be better than serviceable.
Well, I don't know if that's more indicative of his skill or the fact that teams are having to overpay for defensemen.
We've got a couple of young guys who can move the puck both ways in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You've got Brooks Orpik, Chris Letang.
These
guys are decent D-men.
Yeah, now they picked up Mike Comrie. I think he's on a one-year deal in Pittsburgh.
A one-year deal, and he's not making a lot of money. Like, he's making league minimum, basically, well, $500,000.
And he hasn't earned his pay in the last couple of years.
No, he hasn't. Well, he's been busy getting married to
Hillary Duff.
Hillary Duff
and good
having
on
sex with Hillary Duff.
Yeah, and Mike Comrie, kudos.
And spending a lot of time with Hillary Duff.
Yeah. Do you need to reboot here? Are you stuck in a loop? Or do you just need to take off to the washroom for a few minutes?
I just need some alone time. Good on you, Mike.
Yeah.
Good Canadian kid.
We're letting that mental image just percolate into the minds of our listeners.
In the mental image, Mike, you're busy at practice, but Hillary Duff is still there.
They also picked up a guy who I know the Canucks, or at least the Canucks fans, were high on in Aaron Asham. He made the cross-Pennsylvania trip.
Yeah, he was a possible free agent signing here in Vancouver. A lot of folks were thinking bottom six for him, and he ends up being bottom six in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we ended up with Torres. They got Asham. He's really good, I think, in that role.
Yeah.
Gets in on the forecheck, bangs and crashes.
I think if Mike Comrie plays up to his potential, and if Asham plays the way he can, Pittsburgh's got a good bottom six.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous team. I think it also depends on which Marc-Andre Fleury shows up.
I've always thought that Marc-Andre Fleury is overrated just because of the team that plays in front of him.
Hmm.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on him?
I like him. The biggest memory I have, other than the Stanley Cup, back-to-back Stanley Cup final appearances against the Wings, my biggest memory of Marc-Andre Fleury is of the World Junior Championship against the Americans. He was trying to clear the puck, hit the American forechecker,
right,
and the puck bounced straight into the net. And that was the series, the tournament-winning goal.
Yeah, that eclipses for you the cup-saving save that he made.
Well, I said other than the final appearances. He had a lot of people who criticized him and said he couldn't win the big game. And they used that World Junior Championship as Exhibit A.
Yeah.
When they lost against the Detroit Red Wings, Exhibit B.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy had the mental fortitude to come back and basically say, well, how do you say screw you in French?
Yeah.
And then he came back and he won the cup. And he saved the cup against Marian Hossa, former teammate.
I've got to say that the clip of Fleury making that save is really underrated. How many times have you seen replays of a cup-winning goal or a tournament-winning goal? Because that's, I guess, what we want to see when we're watching highlights. He did exactly the same thing in net. He stopped a point-blank shot from, who was it that took the shot? Do you even
Marian
know?
Marian Hossa.
Was it Hossa?
It was Hossa.
5 feet away, falling to his right, he made the save that won the Pens the cup.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get shown least, near enough.
Or at least saved it from going into overtime.
Yeah.
This is a good goaltender who can win the Penguins another cup. I think he's the guy. They need to have him there.
Okay.
I think he's a franchise goaltender. I really do.
I don't think he's even the third best Canadian goalie in the league.
I don't know if necessarily he is right now, but I think over his career, if he stays healthy, he will be looked upon as a very, very good goaltender. I would not be surprised to see him with several cup rings in his career. And that's
Neither would I, but I think that's because he plays with Pittsburgh.
Well, okay, of course, you need to have Sidney Crosby and Jenny Malkin. But like you said, if Jenny Malkin and Sidney Crosby do not win the cup by themselves, Fleury made the cup-winning save for those two guys to get the ring they got.
Yeah. And I can't argue with the fact that he's got the ring on his finger now and that he made the save. I don't think that he was the largest factor or even close to the largest factor in them winning that cup.
but he just needs to be as large as he needs to be. And he has not lost them a series in the same way that a Dan Cluche or a Chris Osgood has done.
Yeah, all right, well, that's fair enough.
I've never seen him explode and lose a series.
Yeah.
All right, well, where we've seen that with other goaltenders, like our own Bobby Lou.
Fair enough. Speaking of good goalies, the last team that we need to review is the New Jersey Devils.
Of course, these guys got more press in this offseason than they ever got from winning a cup.
Yes.
The whole Ilya Kovalchuk saga, they got him. As I predicted, they made it work. You didn't think that they were going to do it after the NHL.
I'm surprised.
And after the NHL rejected their deal, I knew they were going to make it work. There's no way the NHL could let it happen where he didn't get there. They had to make it work.
Well, if you believe the media reports, I mean, they were very close to not having it work.
All I have to say is Kovalchuk is a Devil, and that changes the entire profile of this division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you take a look at the moves they've made in the offseason. They've lost two key defensemen.
Who's that?
Paul Martin, who's right. gone to Pittsburgh, and Johnny Oduya, who I believe is with Atlanta now.
And he will do you.
He will.
But they picked up Volchenkov.
They picked up Volchenkov. They picked up Henrik Talander. Both of those guys, good, but I think they're unproven as the guys. And so they are expected to be the guys.
So you don't think that this is an upgrade?
I haven't, honestly, I'll be honest, I haven't seen Oduya enough to know whether either Volchenkov or Talander is an upgrade.
I think this is an upgrade for these two defensemen.
Overall?
Over the two that they lost.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
I also think that with a guy like Volchenkov on the back end, you look at New Jersey's trouble in the second half last year.
Yeah.
New Jersey's trouble in the playoffs was they just couldn't keep the other guys from scoring. This is a fairly low-scoring team anyway.
Yeah.
They've got Kovalchuk to solve that. He's going to have a full season there.
Yeah. They've also picked up Arnott.
They've also picked up Jason Arnott, who's a solid 50, 60-point guy, right? They've also got a better defense in front of Martin Brodeur, which is what he needs. I think this is an upgrade for the Devils.
Okay. I'm not convinced that it's a better defense. I think their biggest problem last year was that Brodeur got tired.
Well, they're not going to have this problem this year.
No, they went out and got Johan Hedberg.
Johan Hedberg!
I don't know how I feel about that.
What, about him or about me singing his name like that?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Hedberg, he's certainly a serviceable backup, but having Brodeur play less games this year is, I think, going to hurt them. Fewer games this year. Grammar nerd.
Really? Well, the guy can't play 65, 70 games until he's 40.
Putting Hedberg in there, I think, is a big risk. Because I don't know that Hedberg has... Well, I mean, it's going to come back to how good the defense is. And I think that the defense is going to be weaker than it was last year. And therefore, I think that the goaltenders are going to get a lot more fire.
You're going to suffer for that. Yeah. Do you think the Brodeur still got it? I mean, he showed even as early as the Olympics that he was shaky. Did not have a good Olympic start, which gave Roberto Luongo the nets. Even when Luongo looked shaky, because Canada was winning, they kept him in there. But Brodeur did not look good in the second half. And he made a couple of good saves in the playoffs, but he was not as steady as he has been.
He's still good. He is. He's going to be very serviceable as a number one until he's 40.
He has 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah.
So this is not a contract year for Brodeur. He doesn't have to think about retirement or anything else.
No. I mean, I think that it was good that they went out and got a decent backup for Brodeur. But playing him more still, I don't know, makes me a little uncertain about the Devils' future.
All right. Well, that brings us to our predictions then. So what do you think? What's going to happen in the Atlantic?
I think Pittsburgh is going to take the division.
Okay.
They're not going to have quite enough to wrest the conference title away from Washington.
Well, when we talk about the Southeast Division, we're going to talk about why that is.
Yes.
I think Pittsburgh's a better team than Washington, but they've also got a much tougher division.
Exactly, yeah. And I think I see Pittsburgh finishing first in the division, second overall. Following them will be Philadelphia. They're going to do much better in the regular season, I think, this year than they did last year.
Okay.
And they're going to finish second and fifth overall in the conference. I've got them third in the division, New Jersey. I've got them on the bubble to make the playoffs. And I'm going to say they're not going to do it.
Ooh, New Jersey doesn't make the playoffs. So you think big contract for Kovalchuk and he doesn't get into the playoffs?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think they're going to finish ninth overall. Yeah, what do you think? You going to disagree with me on that one or...
Well, so now what you're saying is the Big Apple...
The Big Apple is going to get shut out of the playoffs
this year.
They're
going to get shut out of the playoffs like they did last year. Do you think that the Blue Shirts come close?
I've got them in 10th, but I don't know how close they're going to be.
Well, this is a really hard one to call because I have exactly the same order of teams as you, but I really want to disagree with you because that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I have the same order. I think Pittsburgh is going to take the division.
Yeah.
I think New Jersey showed us the real New Jersey in the second half last year. I do think Volchenkov is an upgrade on the defense, and I think that's really going to help Martin Brodeur. But I just don't see them getting 100 points like they did last year.
No.
I don't see that. Philly and New Jersey are going to battle it out for second place. I do think New Jersey is going to finish in the top eight in the East just because the East is so weak. I can't see enough teams getting ahead of them. I agree with you. I think New York is going to be shut out of the playoffs. I think the Rangers are going to implode, and the Islanders, even though they are a woeful squad, just might finish ahead of the Rangers.
Ooh. No, they're not.
So that is my prediction. I think the Rangers stink.
Yeah, they're
not even going to come close.
I think I don't think they'll be that close, but to say that the Islanders are going to be better than them?
Possibly. I said possibly. Yeah. It really depends on whether or not Gar Snow goes out and does something with that $19 million in cap space that he's got.
Yeah. The East is extraordinarily difficult to predict, especially with the shootouts involved.
Well, as opposed to the West, I mean, pretty much any team can make the playoffs except for the Oilers.
It was completely opposite last year. I mean, there was, I think, a very clear drop-off after the ninth place team in the West last year.
Preseason, did you pick that? Oh, yeah.
Well, no, but right. I mean what I'm saying is that there's been, in the West, each year there's been 9 or 10 teams, whereas in the East, 6 through 13, just a gigantic mess.
And here's where my prediction comes in. I think the Rangers are not in that 6 to 13 bunch. I think they're going to finish low in the conference. I think they're ugly. I think they're an ugly, ugly team.
That's a big prediction.
And to be both bad and ugly at the same time is very, very sad.
Even with the upgrades on Jokinen and Kotalik and Higgins?
Yeah, I think the Rangers are atrocious.
All right.
I'm predicting the Rangers are going to do really bad things.
All right. Well, this is taped, so we'll be able to revisit this.
I'd like to say, as we close up today, that you should take all of my predictions with a grain of salt. I finished in last place in my hockey pool last year, and I run a podcast, but apparently that means I know very little about the game.
And in a different hockey pool, I won, so by all means, listen to me, not Jason.
I'm going
to
go and cry now. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the roof.
rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange, time for
Zaphod Beeblebrox and Zenon Konopka. Yeah, well, they also brought in Vinny Prospel.
Vaclav Prospel?
Is it Vaclav?
It's Vaclav.
There's two V Prospels in the league? Well, that's just stupid.
You want to try that again?
All right. Yeah, they also brought in Vaclav Prospel.
Vinny?
Now you're being an asshole.
Wait, the deuterometer just went off again. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
The preceding podcast has been a production of BuckedInTheHead.com. Any and all reproduction, with or without authorization, is strictly for nerds.